Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
Well, good afternoon to another exciting adventure here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your hostess with the mostest, the radio chick, it's Annie, along with the coolest and most handsome of all co-hosts in Blog Talk land, Cool Mike. Good afternoon, Mikey.
Good afternoon, Annie. I am not touching that, although true, I don't want to really kind of brag. Anyway, thank you. Good afternoon, everybody, and reminder, Southern Sense. Happy that we're here on this Friday, the 21st of September. We are reaching out to you, so reach out and touch us back. Online networking with Spreaker and Stitcher, as well as Facebook and Twitter. Who knows, Annie is reaching all over the universe, so why don't you follow us and we'll follow you. We're also on Facebook. So look us up, friend request us, or follow us with these tweets. These tweets are getting really popular, by the way, Annie. Every TV show, every newscast, every sporting event you watch, all the this person just tweeted this 30 seconds ago. I'm like, geez. So
I know. I use TweetDeck because I do have more than just one Twitter account. In case I ever get sent to Twitmo, I have my secret identities. I'll love to pop in and harass whoever sent me to Twitmo. But I am up there under Buford Tea Party and Southern Sense. So the links to Twitter and Facebook are on our show page, so you can just click on them and automatically connect. We are working on a homepage for just Southern Sense, just a page dedicated to Southern Sense. We'll have some blog on there and other links for people to click on and share their point of view. But as soon as I get that up, I'll let you know. But I want to welcome.
Go ahead.
I want to welcome everyone that's listening in. If you do like the show, click on our homepage, our show page, and click on follow. So that way you know when we're going to broadcast. Because a lot of people don't remember, we only broadcast 2 days a week, Tuesdays and Fridays, 2 p.m. to 3:30 Eastern Standard Time. So please click on it.
Also, if we have to do special interviews and we do it, let's say, on an off day, you'll also be notified of that interview, and you can actually listen to it live and not have to wait to listen to it while it happens or wait till the show comes.
We do try to do that. Sometimes we have an interviewer, though, that doesn't want to talk to people. They just want the straight interview. Unfortunately, we can't then involve them. But when we can, we will, and we will notify everyone ahead of time. So you can mark your calendar, set your alarm.
We had Gary Sinise, and maybe one of these days, Annie, when you're rich and famous and big, we'll have you as a guest instead of being the host. You're like, welcome back, Annie. And I'm excited about today's show because obviously it is political season. It's the heart of political season, actually. It is September, October, November, the big 3 months. And we have a veteran who is a hopeful congresswoman in the state of Arizona.
Yeah, we're waiting for her to call in.
To get her forever, too. I started with her with Conservative Primetime going back to, like, spring.
Well, sometimes you just have to chase them around. You know, we got some other guests coming up later on. Matter of fact, Tuesday, after the week when we come back, our very next show, we'll have Dinesh D'Souza. And if anyone doesn't know who he is the producer of the film 2016, Obama's America. If you haven't seen that film, go out and see it. It'll blow your mind.
Be more than blow your mind, also blow your stack. Yeah, it's really amazing is that if you watch that film, you're watching all of this unfold. And, I mean, what more do we as citizens need to wake up? I mean, this is happening right before our eyes. They're making a movie about it. It's on the big screen. And, I mean, we just, unbelievable how naive people can be.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I've been trying to get another guest on, but it may not happen until after the election, unfortunately. His name is, I believe it's David Michael Lynch. He's got a film out about immigration, and it is a phenomenal film. He can't get it shown in theaters, but he does have it up on the Internet. And, in fact, if you purchase his film, which is, I think, like $21, $22, he sends you two free. So he'll send you actually three copies of the movie so that you can take them and pass them around so everyone else can see it. It's phenomenal. So I'm hoping to get him on, hopefully before Election Day. But there's a lot of Obama films coming out, and not all of them pro-Obama. So we're going to see what's going to happen, how it'll affect the election.
A couple quick things before we do our dedication. Number one is I'm hoping to also get Dale Peterson on as a guest, too, for those who don't know. Dale is your old-fashioned Southern Republican, Annie. Boy, if you weren't already married, he'd be a match made in heaven with you. He ran for agricultural commissioner in Alabama. He made world news because in his commercial he was walking around with a shotgun, talking about putting Alabama back in business.
Oh, is that the one that was blowing the bills away, shooting at them?
I'm not sure. I remember when I saw it. I sent the link to Jermaine, and we just were like, he's just a great American. I mean, just a very good, a true Southern conservative. And hopefully I can get him on either a week from today or 2 weeks from today. He's very cooperative, but just a guy who is basically a hard worker all his life, has a wonderful wife. I believe she won the Republican primary for Secretary of State. So she is actually in the runoff in November in Alabama. But basically, this guy was such a big threat that his opponents were stealing all of his yard signs. It was really funny, too, because that's, I think in the commercial, that's what he said, like, I'm guarding them yard signs. He had the shotgun in his hand. But anyway, hopefully we can get Dale. And also, I wanted to ask you, I don't know if you had a chance, did you see the interview with President Obama where he's acknowledging a few minor mistakes he may have made in his presidency?
No, I missed that. I did know that he has a commercial out. He made a speech the other day where he said he can't fix D.C. from within, so you got to elect him so he can fix it from without.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful? President Obama is doing more first-time campaigning than ever before. I mean,
Well, you know, I got to hand it to Romney because as soon as he heard that line, he stepped right into it and he said, yeah, Obama's right. He can't fix it from inside. That's why we're sending him out of Washington. Send me in.
Oh, man. I have an email to read you. Mike and Annie, I am sorry for the late notice, but Martha is not going to be able to make it into the show today. Is it possible we can have her next week instead? Her schedule today is packed, and she is getting on a plane at 3 p.m. Sorry for the such notice. Bruce, her campaign manager. I just got this like 5 seconds ago.
Oh, my God. And I spoke to him just last night while I was making dinner. And that was like about 7 o'clock last night, and everything was confirmed. You know, you never know what happens with these guests, you know, especially if they're campaigning, because their schedule changes so fast. And it's like, what is it, 45 or 47 days to Election Day? If someone knows the exact date, you know, the number of days, post it up in the chat room. But I think it's somewhere between 45, 47 days. You got a month and a half left before November 6th, and some of these guys are in super hyperdrive. Wow.
Yeah, well, even with us, with the local state campaign, I thought after the primary we're going to take a week off. And it's like you more or less take like a half a day off, and then you're back in action. But we got Reactionary there. He can call in. We just discuss our political scene. I did want to mention, I did want to play a clip. Let me see if I can upload it. If you go ahead and
do the dedication.
Are we going to do
the dedication?
Yeah, you do it, and I'll try to upload this very interesting clip. It may spark a few controversial questions on BTR. But go ahead. Alrighty, which music are we doing today?
We're gonna do the Army mix with Taps.
Okay.
All right. Anyone that listens knows that we do a dedication to a fallen military hero, and today is for Army Private First Class Patricia L. Horn. So you ready, Mike?
Music's playing.
Okay. Army Private First Class Patricia L. Horn, 20, died August 24th in Begram, Afghanistan, according to the Department of Defense. No cause of death has yet been given. Horn was assigned to the 96th Aviation Support Battalion, 101st Combat Aviation Brigade, 101st Airborne Division Air Assault at Fort Campbell in Kentucky. Begram is the headquarters for the Regional Command East, which is the U.S.-led command in charge of military operations in the eastern part of Afghanistan. It is also the main airfield for the entire war. Horn was in Afghanistan for about a month, her mother said. For almost her nearly 3 years of service, she was stationed in Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Betty Horn said her daughter, one of six children, was intelligent and driven. Private First Class Horn is the most recent Mississippian to die in the line of duty in Operation Enduring Freedom, according to a release from the Department of Defense. Originally from Opelousas, Louisiana, Private First Class Horn was a 2010 graduate of Greenwood High School. She joined the Army in August 2010. According to her Facebook page, she was a human resource specialist. She had been deployed to Afghanistan for only a month. Army Private First Class Patricia Horn enjoyed serving her country as a member of one Army's elite units. She told me a few weeks ago that she was going to reenlist, her mother Betty Horn told the Greenwood Commonwealth on Monday. The Army would pay for her schooling. She wanted to be a doctor. Unfortunately, the 20-year-old didn't get that chance. A friend who learned of Horn's death wrote on her Facebook page, "I love you so much. You are my first love and my best friend. You've accomplished so much. I think about you every day in my heart, and my heart is broken. But I have memories that I will never forget. I thank God for me being able to be a part of your life. I miss you, and I love you." If you are a battle buddy of Patricia, thank you. The utmost respect. Private First Class Horn is the second soldier from Mississippi to be lost in the line of duty in less than a week. She's the 25th military woman to lose her life in Afghanistan, the 36th among all military women in Operation Enduring Freedom. Private First Class Horn is also survived by 5 siblings. According to Army statistics, female soldiers now make up 14% of the total force. These females are now closer to combat than ever, carrying out essential roles stateside and overseas. Governor Steve Beshear has ordered the flags at all state office buildings to be lowered to half-staff from sunrise to sunset on the day of PFC Horn's interment. Greenwood Ward 1 City Councilman Johnny Jennings said Horn's loss would be felt by the entire city. Our hearts go out to the family. I am sure the entire community shares my feelings about this loss of precious life. We will be there for the care and love of this family during this time of need. Mayor Carolyn McAdams said, Horn's death is a sobering reminder of the sacrifice of men and women in uniform. You know the war is going on, but until something like this happens, it hits home dramatically. She said, adding, all citizens need to be thankful for those who serve their country, defending freedom around the globe. My heart and my prayers go out to the family. We're most grateful for her serving. Here are the most recent heroes who gave all. So let's fly those flags at half staff, in our hearts, in our honor, and in my opinion, all flags should be flown at half staff until they all come home. Killed in action states during the week of August 24th, 2012, Mississippi, Ohio, Maryland, Virginia, Colorado, North Carolina, Washington, California, Massachusetts, and Florida. Now, in honor of Private First Class Horn, want to play Todd L. Herndon, My Name is America, but I have to get my computer to turn it back around. Okay. Mike, can you pull up the Todd Allen Herndon clip?
Yep.
All right. This song is dedicated to all fallen military and to all men and women serving in the armed forces for us or our living.
I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. When I'm attacked, I protect and defend. My name is America. I stand proud and free. My name is America. Don't tread on me. I cannot be broken. I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I'll get stronger. And I'll rise. I stand for my respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious deeds become my finest hour. Because my name is America, I stand proud. My name is
My name is America, and you can upload this from YouTube or go to Todd Allen Herndon, and that's two E's at the end, .com, and you can upload the song for free. And I love that song. And I want to welcome everyone into the chat room. Our phone lines will be open today, so we're taking callers. Anyone can call in and express their opinion, no matter how brilliant or stupid it is. But we welcome your calls. The call-in line is 917-889-3675. And we do have to apologize. We had a last-minute change in the schedule of our guests. So Colonel Martha McSally will not be here this week. So hopefully we'll get her back here on next Friday. We'll see what we can do and work that in here and get her to come back. She had a scheduling change. And right now she's probably sitting at the airport waiting to get on board her plane in about half an hour. Oh, well, Mike, can't always do it. Best day depends, right?
No, we cannot. But I want to, the first thing, I want to take 30 seconds and play a clip on this man is running for Congress in California. He is a Marine, and I promised him we'd do a little plug for Nick Popovich. Hang on.
Around the world, I've seen people fight and die for freedom. I've never known a day without it. I love my country. Too many people have fought too hard for our freedom and prosperity. You can be able to look your children in the face someday and say, we gave that away. If you believe in lower taxes to create private sector jobs, a secure border to protect those jobs, and being an American is not something to apologize for, then stand on the wall with me. I'm Nick Popovich, and I'm running for Congress. I will listen to you, and I will fight for you.
Approved and paid for by Nick Popovich for Congress.
Nick lost an eye, in fighting in Iraq in Fallujah. And he actually got a glass eye. Instead of it making it look normal, it's a Marine, the anchor and the hook. yeah, once a Marine, always a Marine. But anyway, Nick won his primary, and he's running. He's not running against Maxine Waters, but right next to her district. I think he's number two, or no, I'm not really sure. I'm getting them mixed up. But anyway. Nick Popovich is running as a Republican, and he is a 14-year veteran. He's another one, his wife April. Man. Oh, boy. Look who we got on the line, Annie. Thomas says, guess what? I guess we'll I'm kind of scared to see what the answer to this question will be, but we haven't heard from Thomas in a while.
Okay. Oh, let's bring Thomas in. Before we bring Thomas in, I want to make a small comment. I had been getting the Weekly Standard, which I stopped, I found it too flimsy in some of the stuff. And I recently subscribed to Town Hall. And this magazine, I highly recommend. It really goes after the meat and potatoes. And Popovich mentioned about taxes and regulation. They have an article in here called Free Market by John Ransom. And he named some of the stats of the regulations that have gone into effect since Obama came into the office. And it's staggering. The first year, he had 75 new regulations that cost $38 billion annually to commerce and industry. $30 billion are not going into wages, into purchases. It's not going into actual jobs or stimulating the economy. It's being used to just adhere to federal regulations. That's just the first year. Now, he increased it to last year. Where is it? It was like 104 new regulations.
Jeez.
And you're talking about, they're saying it's upwards to $400 billion annually. It's absolutely amazing. And they wonder why we want to cut regulations. Let's bring Thomas in on board. Good afternoon, Thomas.
Hey, y'all going to sing happy birthday to me?
How long is your birthday? I've been hearing about this birthday now for 3 months. Do you celebrate a three-month-long birthday?
Actually, I started celebrating my birthday last Sunday because my birthday was Monday, and I skipped actually celebrating that day, and I went to eat Tuesday, Wednesday, had a get-together with three people yesterday, and then I'm going to the best barbecue on earth tonight, and then tomorrow I'm moving to Wichita, Kansas, to help a friend campaign for state office in Kansas.
This is a week-long, you catch this, Mike? It's a week-long birthday, so he milks it. He gets free drinks, free food. Free drinks, free food, lots of gifts. Boy, you make the welfare society look like kindergarten.
I make the long trip over to Missouri. Don't even get a hello from Thomas, of course. It's not a racial issue or anything, but now he's got this barbecue and we ain't even invited.
Well, if you guys can get here by 8 o'clock tonight, y'all more than welcome to go to Oklahoma Joe's. That's a very good barbecue. But on the serious tip, Annie, I got to give you credit for something.
Uh-oh, what did I do now?
No, do you remember it was over a year ago when I started telling you about I originally called it my Black Conservative Media Network that I wanted to start, and you said to me that, you know, you shouldn't call it Black Conservative Media Network because it would, even though I know you and you're making it inclusive to everyone, it doesn't sound like it's welcoming to other conservatives. You remember that conversation, us having that conversation?
Yes. Yeah.
And then you said, well, I will help you come up with another name. And you came up with Conservative American Freedom Entertainment Medium, Cafe Media. You remember that?
Right.
As we are speaking, my network is being built by my partner, Todd Bullis. He built a pro-life equivalent of Facebook and YouTube. They're phenomenal, just off the charts. Most people don't know about them because they're only word of mouth. We haven't really started pushing it as much as we can, but I am so excited because here's the thing. This is the thing. And you were the inspiration for this. It's going to combine the capabilities because it's not going to be, you know how BTR has integrated Facebook and Twitter. You know, you can integrate Twitter into that. Well, my network is actually going to have integrated into it its own type of Facebook, Twitter, live video streaming where you will be able to live stream your show right there live as you're doing it, and BTR type technology all on one platform. And so when people sign up for their host package, they get all that stuff, you know, they get all that stuff up front. And we only have two levels of host packages anyway. I decided that we're going to streamline it. We only have our basic package is going to be the equivalent of the pro package here on BTR. And we're charging $70 a month for that. And then the branded network, where they charge $2,500 a month for having your own network, multiple shows, we're only charging $500 a month for that. And the reason being is because I discovered there is a major niche for conservatives who are looking to do conservatives and Christians and any others who have that those leanings to that they're hungry. And you are the inspiration for that. It's being done. Annie, my gosh, I couldn't tell you the team that was put together for this. And part of the corporate makeup of this, we have on board a young lady. Well, actually, it's the sister of one of my corporate team members who actually wrote business plans for technology companies. And the last company that she was successful in, she successfully got them a $25 million investment. God put this together, Annie. You were the inspiration for this. And for that, I thank you so much from the bottom of my heart.
So how much of the stock do I own now?
This is a privately held company, so to be determined.
So you're an entrepreneur. You're going to give your testimonial every show?
Listen, we got another caller coming in here. Let me bring this person in on the line. And I do believe this is my friend Dana, DCS. You're live in the air?
Hey, I know Dana.
It is. Hi, Annie. How are you?
Hi, how are you doing?
Oh, I beautiful day here in western Pennsylvania. I just wanted to say happy birthday to my brother Thomas. Congratulations, and enjoy the barbecue.
Oh, not happy birthday, happy birth week.
Happy
Thomas
birth. Oh, he's
just,
having the birth
man,
week.
Thomas, who owns the enterprise of the internet, you know, he's not just celebrating a day. Going to take the whole week.
You guys are silly.
Yeah, you know, Annie had said I never call in, and I did have a chance, Annie, to speak to you when you were with your husband when he was in the hospital, and that's dedication. You were broadcasting bedside because we could actually hear the nurses in the background when you were broadcasting from there.
Yeah, matter of fact, the doctor had walked in just in the middle of the broadcast, and I had to play some music so I could talk to the doctor.
Oh, man, that's great. Hey, I want to play a quick while we got the BTR people on here. I want to play a clip real quick, and I want to.
All right, and then we'll bring Reactionary on as soon as that's.
Well,
over.
Why don't we bring Reactionary on, and then we'll I'll play the clip. I want everyone to kind of weigh in on something that the judge said. Go ahead, bring them on.
All right, Reactionary, you're on the air live with Southern Sense. And by the way, I did get your clip, but I haven't been able to upload it yet. I was just so tied up this morning, so thank you.
No troubles. I just banged it out this morning because I didn't have anything with the new times on it. So it's all good in the hood like that. So, and not to be remiss, happy birth week, Thomas, because we want you to get your props. And we're all waiting to see what's going to happen with the network.
Oh, yeah, it should be interesting. He's been talking about that now for, more than a year now, so I'm glad to see it finally getting off the ground. All right, Mike, go ahead with your clip. What do we got here?
I'm looking for it. I was going to say, if Thomas is going to make it big, we're all going to still be on BTR, and we'll be like, wonder what Thomas is up to now. We'll be watching him on TV with the limousines and the women and all that. We'll be like, oh, look at Thomas. And we'll still be doing the BTRs on the Friday.
All right. Well, while you look for the clip, I want to remind those that are listening in, expecting to hear Colonel Martha McSally, let you know that she had a last-minute change, and right now she's standing at the airport waiting to board a plane, so she will not be able to join us today. Hopefully, we'll have her back on next Friday. We'll see what we can do, but it was a last-minute change, and we got notified just as we were going on the air live. That's the problem with people campaigning. The closer they get to the campaign, they're schedule has to be fluid, and it constantly changes. So we apologize. If you tuned in listening for Colonel Martha McSally, she will be back at a later date. So instead, call in and enjoy our show. Be part of the show. Mike, you got the clip?
Like old times. I said, just like old times. Yep. Okay. Here's a bill, everybody. Here's a bill that, as we all know, you go before Congress and the Senate, and it reads bills. Well, I want everyone to hear this and then basically tell me what they're interpreting. I'm not sure who the legislature is, but when I saw this on YouTube, I had to play this because usually when these congressmen or these senators or whoever it is gets before the microphone on C-SPAN there, and they, you know, the bill number, et cetera, and this is what it does. Here's some of Barack Obama's bills. So, hang on, let me push play. I pushed play, and it's just going around in circles for a second, but anyway.
The wonder of technology, and of course, BTR at its best.
Congress shall now.
Oh, hang on. Okay, there we go.
Congress shall now vote for approval of H.R. 8791, the Homeland Terrorism Preparedness Bill. Said bill requests emergency response funding up to and including. I'm sorry, this section is classified. Dollars to prepare for a national level terrorist attack and/or attack from classified. Funding for first responder personnel and vehicles would be doubled if said attack leads to more than 80% of national population being affected by classified. This funding shall commence in conjunction with the first attack on classified or the first large-scale outbreak of classified, dependent upon which comes first. Civilian and military units shall be trained in containment and combat of classified, including irradiated classified with possibility of classified airborne, classified flesh-eating, classified, and or all of the above in such event as classified spewing, classified escape, are released or otherwise become uncontrollable. Air Force units may also be directed to combat said classified due to their enormous size and otherworldly strength. Should event occur in urban areas? Jesus. That's classified, far surpassing our darkest nightmares. Should casualties exceed, classified body disposal actions shall be halted and associated resources shall be reallocated to classified underground, classified protected birthing centers. A new Bill of Rights shall be drafted and approved by classified. Having now reviewed the bill, I ask you to please cast your votes.
Why don't we start with Thomas on that one? What do you think, Thomas? New Bill of Rights and it's classified.
Was that a joke?
No, that was I got that right on. The guy was a guest here one time. I think he was a former senator from Alaska. That one Annie doesn't like. But anyway, no, that's not a joke. And New Bill of Rights and classified. Of course. A New Bill of Rights?
Well, don't they realize that they try that stuff? They'll have close to 60 million American armed, up in arms. See, Annie and reactionaries and Mike and you guys, I know you guys are going to weigh in on this, but I understand what the communists are trying to do. But what I don't get is that why in the hell are they so stupid to think that those of us who believe in patriotism are just going to bow down to their whims because they say boo? You know, maybe it's going to take them finding out that fat meat is greasy. You have the biggest, most cowardly act in the history of our country by the most corrupt and pathetic individual in any Mike and reactionaries. I don't know if this has been talked about, but guys, do you know that the apology that was issued by the embassy actually came out before the embassy was first attacked? Did you guys know that?
Well, of course, because there wasn't even a protest outside. We all know what's going on here. Anyone with common sense knows exactly what's going on. All these protests all of a sudden break out of nowhere over a cartoon. Yeah,
right.
The only people dumb enough to believe all that are basically the Democrats.
You mean the dummy-crats?
Well, could be.
You know,
okay, Dana, you want to weigh in on that?
Well, I find it in. Yeah. Yeah, I find it interesting that I thought this was supposed to be the most transparent administration in the history of the United States, right?
Oh, come on, Mike, that had to have been a joke.
No, it was not. It was not. You guys, I'll play it again. You guys can go right to YouTube. The guy is a congressman.
Yeah, post the link.
It's on C-SPAN. I mean, this is not a joke.
Well, I would hope it would be a joke, but if not, there are certain preparations that need to be made. I've been saying for years, and I think RZ would agree with me, that we're nowhere near the level of zombie preparedness that we need to be at. So perhaps that's what they're talking about. I have no idea. If this is actually true, if they're actually preparing these contingencies, it may fall back into something I was talking about on Tuesday night, which is when you want to affect change and you realize that change is not going to be popular with the public at large, what you have to do is you have to create a crisis. And then once you create this crisis and implement this crisis, then you can have the government step in to solve the problem, to offer a solution. So if this is true, if this is serious, I mean, that could be what you're talking about. So,
What about reactionary?
I'm doing a little research on it right now, and I mean, it's a legit clip, and redacted this, redacted that. I mean, obviously, whoever handed it to the guy who was reading it had no freaking clue what was going on. So, I'm
What's the name of the congressman?
Don't know off the top of my head.
But it really doesn't matter. I mean, the bottom line is that
this guy from Pennsylvania.
These are the things that's going on right underneath our nose.
Right.
This is going on right underneath our nose, yet
Library of Congress doesn't show anything on H.R. 8791.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it either, RZ, but yeah.
Maybe they threw it out.
Yeah, maybe they pulled it. It's possible.
I hope. You know, because see, here's
well, classified.
The
classified. So classified, we don't even need to know.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this brings into something I wanted to talk about, and I warned about this earlier, about using drones domestically.
Right.
And it turns out that they actually made an arrest of a civilian, in North Dakota, Rodney Brossard.
Right.
This is now going, hopefully, all the way up to the Supreme Court, because as I understand it, there was a dispute between him and local authorities as to whether or not six cows that wandered onto his property were now his property.
That's
North
right.
North Dakota has some...
That was a dude up in North Dakota who they used the drone on.
Yeah.
Right. Rodney Brossard. And it's in Town Hall magazine. And what it is, North Dakota has some really, really strange laws. So according to North Dakota law, if these cows wandered onto his property, they actually become part of his property. And the cops were saying, no, you got to return them to whomever they actually originally belonged to. And he said, well, listen, you try to send someone over here to try to reclaim these cattle. And he goes, I'm going to be protecting my property as per my Second Amendment rights with my firearm. And so there was some sort of a standoff, and they actually used a drone to violate his property and to make the arrest. So now this is going to be going all the way up, probably, hopefully, to the Supreme Court. And you know what? I agree with his premise. Hey, you can't use those drones. There's no warrant. There was no warrant.
I was in a car with somebody.
Right, but that was also, there was some feuding going on there, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there were people on both sides of it. The guys whose cows had wandered had gone to the other place and gotten run off at the end of a gun. So then they did this and they did that. And
regular Hatfields and McCoys over there.
And if somebody pulled in your driveway, you greeted them at the door with a rifle. I mean, that's just the way life was.
Yeah. But now this is very, very interesting, because now they're going to up it. Right now they have authorization for 15 1,000 drones here domestically to be used. And what is it going up to? Right now they said in the next 10 years there will be 15,000 drones. And they can be as small as a hummingbird or as large as a regular passenger plane. So you don't know where these things are coming from. And can you think of this? You're there sunbathing in your backyard or whatever. And fine, if you're out in public, there's decency laws. But if your own backyard with the fenced in and around and everything else, you know, you can probably get arrested for public nudity because now these drones can turn around and take a picture of you or video of you out there in your own yard. I mean, God forbid you put a pool in your yard and they send one of these drones over saying, huh, we're just going to do a mapping survey. And instead, they turn around and bust you because you put a pool in and didn't tell the county, so the county couldn't raise your tax assessment rate.
Right. And I think something else goes on with this drone stuff, Annie. You know, when you go to Europe, the one thing that, when I first got there, that made me a little uncomfortable is the sight of the military everywhere. They're in public. They're in train stations. They patrol the streets. You know, here in America, we're used to law enforcement. We're not used to seeing military assets on the streets. And I think what's going on here is that you're seeing these exercises. You're seeing military equipment being seen in public more often. They're trying to get us almost used to the idea that you'll have the military routinely involved in your everyday life. Here where I live, there's no air bases here. We see Apache gunships. And these gunships are loaded. They're fully hot. And they fly over the area here constantly. I have no idea what we would need here in the Pittsburgh area with Apache gunship cover, but you see them frequently. And so you begin to desensitize yourself to seeing this. And you know, that's just something that makes me feel very uncomfortable.
No, I agree. I absolutely agree.
They ran the Blackhawks through Minneapolis during a Twins game, for God's sake.
Oh, those pesky terrorists, they come into local and rural America and throw our lives all way upside down. But I got to say
I also want to make a comment. As much as I don't believe conspiracy in many, many cases, I think history reveals that since 9/11, an awful lot of the things that throughout the history dictators and governments have done to enslave their people, an awful lot of those things are taking place here in the United States since that day.
Well,
you can't argue that.
Well, no, you can't. And you've got the TSA. I mean, the TSA, aside of being a bunch of, you know, knuckle-dragon rubes that are unable to gain gainful employment anywhere else, the point of it is to get people used to giving up their liberty piece by piece. To say and to think that somebody else has the right to grow up your junk because you want to go somewhere else, and you notice that it's not just at airports anymore. Now it's at train stations. Now they're talking about buying little booths so they can set up checkpoints. There's a story of a pastor who's obviously is somebody who's sought out this sort of confrontation in the past, but who was stopped at two different checkpoints going from Arizona to California. And he was going east-west, not north-south.
Yeah.
That's really weird.
Checkpoints on the highway?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. They, you know, Mike, what they're doing here in Pennsylvania is I was on a Greyhound bus. I won't discuss what I was doing on the Greyhound bus, but I was on a Greyhound bus heading for New York City, and we actually got stopped at a rest stop here in Pennsylvania by TSA agents who boarded the bus, did a little quick inspection, and proceeded to ask people questions about where they were going, where they came from, and it was very shocking. I'd never seen it before, but they are doing it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that violates so many things I can think of. You know, that's a warrantless search and seizure.
Well, no, the Patriot Act allows them. The TSA, as well as Department of Homeland Security, which I think it falls under, they do not need warrants. I mean, they can. Each individual is a god in him or herself. They can do what they want. Period. And I mean, of course. What am I, just the person who complains every day about the Patriot Act?
No, it's funny because I'm looking at some of these facts about the drones. Now, as I said, they can be large as a commercial airplane, as small as a hummingbird. Now, this is some of the capacities they have, but they're not limited to video cameras, including live video feed, infrared cameras and heat sensors, sophisticated radar, high-resolution gigapixel cameras that can track people or vehicles from altitudes as high as 20,000 feet and monitor up to 65 enemies of the state simultaneously and can see targets from almost 25 miles downrange. They can crack Wi-Fi codes. Mm-hmm. So those of us that are going around using our cell phones as Wi-Fis, forget about it. I mean, I use a Wi-Fi in my home. That means that they can intercept all my Wi-Fi and see what I'm doing online without a warrant. Intercept text messages. Yeah, probably. Text messages and cell phone conversations. And they say the expenditures by 2010 alone was $3 billion on these drones.
And let's not forget, Andy, the most important part of a drone is it can be weaponized. It's very easy to actually have these drones, the bigger drones especially, that are capable of carrying, in some cases, Hellfire missiles, which is what they shot at Anwar al-Awlaki over in Yemen, you know, when they tracked him down with the drone. So it's something that you need to be concerned about, because that kind of level of surveillance is, well, quite disturbing, to be honest.
Well, and I mean, the bottom line is that, let's keep in mind the fact, but we had this discussion with Conservative Primetime, and Sarge was fully in favor of this. And I said, I don't care. Let's take, for example, right now. Let's say a half hour, let's say in this evening's news, a drone comes right now and takes me out. And this evening's news introduces Cool Mike to the world. President Obama says they were able to kill mastermind Cool Mike, who was plotting this. We all know it's not true. But for the rest of the news world who doesn't even know who I am, they're going to assume what? I'm another Anwar al-Awlaki. We don't know anything about this. When we give government this type of power,
right?
You know, keep in mind it's derived. The government's derived from the people.
Well, maybe what Sarge is thinking, Cool Mike, and here's the problem: is he assumes that all these drones are controlled by the military themselves. The drones are also operated by the intelligence services as well. I mean, they're independent from military operations. So,
well, and there's a whole pile of them that are going to be controlled. I mean, there's hundreds of major universities that have applications in for drone flights as well.
Right.
Yeah, and then you've got civilian security firms also. So you're going to have a lot of civilians using these things that will then be under contract to the government. So they're not being used by the government for military purposes. They're being used by civilian contractors. See how they're getting around that?
Well, and the other thing that my first thought is, and, you know, I will admit to having a stylish assortment of tin hats. And
look out for them tin hats.
I was thinking about going and purchasing a quantity of camo netting and camo netting my backyard to see if it ever attracted any attention.
They'll be pulling up your yard looking for those pot plants.
Well, I mean, and I think clearly the Constitution is exceptionally clear. And when we say, okay, we'll give up this little tiny thing, tiny bit of civil rights endowed to us by our Creator because we think it's going to make us safer, the next thing you know, you have a Patriot Act. Then you have extensions. Then you have the NDAA. Then you have the United Nations wanting a handgun ban. And the more, as time goes on, since 2000, we as a nation have become so entrenched in stupidity and so lost and confused that the bottom line is that even if we got the right candidate, to be president, it would take them years to try to rescind all the laws and the new regulations that George Bush and Barack Obama have put in place. And if
could pretty much undo Obama, I think, with one fell swoop by just striking down all the executive orders with one pen stroke.
Now, the Bush stuff is going to be a little bit harder because it's had more time to embed itself. But there is, you know, after Obama's gone, there will be, I mean, there's a fair chance that we'll find out the real truth about the man. And chances are that anything he touched is probably illegal on its face right now.
It'll throw the entire nation into a constitutional crisis.
Well, what it would do is it would essentially make anything that he touched, signed, or had a finger in null and void, which would undo hundreds of thousands of pages of regulation.
Right.
Which I think can't be a bad thing.
I think the constitutional crisis, Annie, is already here. I mean, when this guy acts as his fiat powers, when he's deciding he's going to make recess appointments because he decides the Senate's not in session, he's going to strike down a DOMA by essentially telling the Justice Department not to enforce a law passed by Congress and signed by a former president. I think you can make the case that there are several instances, if we had Republicans with backbones, where you could at least begin the discussions for articles of impeachment on this man. I don't think that's being radical to say.
Hey, Dana,
what's
a Republican with a backbone?
Oh, that was his name was Ronald Reagan. You can look him up on Wikipedia.
I know that. But when you have a bunch of cowards in the establishment who can't even stick with one of the most principled individuals in the entire Congress over a freaking comment. When a piece of crap news media cut off half the statement, and then they proceed to tell us here in Missouri what the hell we're supposed to do with our votes. Go ahead.
You're right, Thomas. But here's the problem: what Republicans do in the establishment is they look at polls. That's all they do. They look at polls. And so when you see people and you say, "How do you go about attacking the president?" Well, unfortunately, there are many people out there who still get the idea because there's such an image that's been produced that Barack Obama is a nice guy, a nice man.
Wow.
So if you attack, no, I'm just saying this is what they're looking at. They look at these polls and they say, "Well, we can't attack him on that basis. So what we have to do is we got to learn to somehow." We don't want to attack him directly, so what we'll do is we'll attack this policy, that policy, instead of actually going after the man himself. That's their problem. They look at these polls, and they're afraid. They're fearful. They lack the courage of their convictions. There's no doubt about that. Okay? And that's what I'm saying. You know, this is part of the problem that you have. You're going to have to start putting more people like Alan West in, who has no problem speaking his mind. Okay.
Yeah, you need more Paul Ryans. You need more Eric Cantors. I want to remind everyone that is listening in, expecting to hear Colonel Martha McSally. She had a last-minute schedule change, and right now she's boarding an airplane and in the air, and so she had to cancel out. Hopefully we'll have her back on Friday. So we welcome you to join us in the chat room or to call in and become part of our roundtable because we're just winging it and having some fun here. You're listening to Southern Sense here on Blog Talk Radio. One of the things I'm finding is you had mentioned polls, and every time I hear them say, well, it's polling this way, polling that way. Have you ever seen two polls that on any news station that were at least close in numbers? I haven't. I've seen things saying Obama's ahead by 10 points or we have Romney leading now by 1 point. None of these make any sense, and anything can happen. A poll means nothing. Especially on election day.
Whoa.
Kennedy had a poll which had, I think, Romney winning 42 states. And I thought to myself, even the dumbest of dummies would not believe that. I mean, it was so ridiculous. I thought, does anyone even listen to this stupid radio show? Of course, I'm the only moron who listens to that idiot, Hannity. But he had basically Romney winning 48 states. Anyone believe that one? And then,
no.
Like a couple weeks ago, I saw one which had Obama winning like by, you know, just total made up polls. Let's listen for a couple minutes about. Here's I think everyone's favorite Republican. Then we'll comment on this. Here is the judge of all judges, who I think would make an excellent president and running mate with Alan West.
We'll be right back. Does the government work for us, or do we work for the government? Is the best government really the one that governs the least? Can we ever have a government that stays within the confines of the Constitution? If the Constitution was written to keep the government off the people's backs, why is the government all over us? Tonight, whatever happened to freedom? Understanding where we go from here should start with understanding how we got here. We are the free and independent people of the United States of America. We are free because those who preceded us fought a war against a person who was then the world's grandest king and who presided over what was then the world's grandest empire. The founding fathers risked, as they like to tell us, their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honors for the freedom and independence they won and we have inherited. But they were not saints. And initially, their cause was not popular. From the records available today, the people who measure historical trends have concluded that in 1776, only about one-third of Americans supported the revolution. About one-third of Americans opposed it. And about one-third of them didn't care. When I first looked at these numbers, I thought, in 1776, this was the grandest fight for the greatest amount of freedom for the most people at any point in history. So who could possibly oppose it? And who in their right mind could not care? Fast forward to today and ask, who could possibly support a government that regulates everything from the strength of the water pressure in your shower to the size of the toilet bowl in your home to the thickness of the leather in your shoes? Who could want a government that punishes people for speech, that lets its own agents write their own search warrants, that fights wars just to keep the military-industrial complex busy, that debases all you own by printing worthless money and putting it into the stream of commerce, that gives away more than half the tax dollars it collects, and that, despite express provisions in the Constitution to the contrary, permits the president to lock up whoever he wants and to throw away the key? Perhaps the colonists who didn't care if they freely chose their government or were cared for by a benevolent tyrant had an odd way of knowing what was coming. Perhaps those who opposed the revolution were afraid to take on the king, to challenge authority, and to risk their comfortable lives for the unknown. Well, we all know what happened. A relatively small part of the population pushed the culture and society toward freedom. And the freedoms that they chose were pure. I mean, after we won the revolution and wrote the Constitution, the new government and the political class assured all Americans that they could think as they wished and say what they thought and publish what they said, that they could associate or not associate with anyone. They could worship as they chose or choose not to worship. They could defend themselves with guns even against tyrants, that troops would never enter their homes, that only neutral judges would issue search warrants, and that the government could not take their lives, their freedom, or their property without a trial, at which their fault would be proven in front of a neutral jury. All this was guaranteed to the first generation of Americans and to their posterity, that would be us, because much of it had been denied them by the king and the parliament, and because Americans came to believe, even the one-third that were afraid and the one-third that didn't care, that these rights are ours by virtue of our humanity. Whether you believe that we are the highest order of natural selection, or whether you believe, as I do, that we were created by God in His image and likeness, you know in your heart that these natural yearnings, as St. Thomas Aquinas and Thomas Jefferson called them, are our natural rights, are a part of our humanity, and cannot long be denied us. And yet, they have been denied. The same founding fathers who wrote that Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech, in fact, enacted the Alien and Sedition Acts, which punished speech that was critical of them, critical of the government. This happened because people were afraid to challenge the tyranny of the majority. America, the greatest losses to our freedom have come not from someone attacking us, but from the government ignoring the Constitution and the majority letting them get away with it. The worst amendments to the Constitution were not those ratified by the states, but rather were amendments by consensus, where all three branches of government agreed to look the other way. When good people do nothing, bad things happen. So what shall we do? We should challenge authority, no matter who is in charge. We should challenge the majority whenever it curtails anybody's freedom. We should side with freedom no matter what the government says. We should vote out of office those who push the government outside the Constitution, no matter what earmarks they just brought home. And we should make the government afraid of us. Afraid of us. Because as Jefferson reminded us, when the people fear the government, there is tyranny. But when the government fears the people, there is liberty. From New York, defending freedom. Everybody.
Oh, there he is. Wow. Judge Andrew Napolitano.
He's a nice Italian boy, as my grandmother would always say.
Well, I mean, is that just not in 5 minutes just sums it all up?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely, absolutely, which is what I've been saying all along. We should, the majority cannot be silent any longer. And that's the problem. So many things have gone through because we said, all right, our government really wouldn't do this to us, would they? Nah. I mean, it'll turn out all right. And we just go along our little merry little old way. And by definition, as conservatives, we are quiet people. We don't go banging the brass drums and smashing windows to get people's attention like Occupy Wall Street. We do things quietly.
Right.
But now we can't be quiet any longer. And that's why I love that thing. We're silent no longer, and we are the majority. We've got to open up, like the judge says, and whoever is in power, challenge, ask, look, question, and push your point of view.
If there's one good thing that has come out of this environment over the last few years, is at least now there are more Americans now that are willing to have discussions about issues that they probably wouldn't even have cared about 5 or 6 years ago. We're beginning to have conversations about the Constitution, the limits of government. We have Paul Ryan on the ticket who's talking about the coming entitlement nightmare. These are conversations that people weren't even willing to have a few years ago. So I think we are making a difference, and you have to keep pushing that message out and trying to educate people as you go along. You know, Cool Mike said something earlier. I think it was Cool Mike who's talking about, you know, how we didn't get here overnight. It's been 100 years of progressivism at work. It's going to take decades if we are successful to roll this stuff back. So it's going to be a long fight. I don't expect in my own lifetime am I going to see the America that I want to see. I don't think that's going to happen in my lifetime. But I'm hoping in my children's lifetime that they can understand what it really means to be free.
Absolutely. And one of the beauties of this new movement, which, you know, really coalesced around the Tea Party, is that it's the social media that actually helped us bring it together and get our voices out there. I mean, in the past, we didn't have this access to the media. And places like VTR and Facebook and Twitter and whatever else is out there, God knows, because I'm not even aware of half of it. But it's getting our voices heard. And also people are starting to shake their head and go, you know what, you've got a point there. And that's the best part, because one person at a time, we are changing the tide and changing their minds. You got to pardon me. I've got a 30-pound cat right now trying to climb on my lap.
Wow. That's a heavy cat.
Sir Oswald Wigglesworth. What you also have is you have senators and congressmen that even before they're elected, they're basically purchased. Because instead, when they stand up at the podium, they should basically be have labels on them like race car drivers have. Who owns you? And the bottom line
sponsors
is
on your suit.
Yeah, and I think one of our state representatives here has a great idea in Michigan, and that is basically if you run for the House of Representatives, you spend $10,000. Period. You can't spend any more. Can't spend any. You can spend less, but you can't spend any more. And Cool Mike can't take out private advertising to help that person. Like now we see all these other agencies running commercials for Romney and for Obama and all that. I mean, just the most ridiculous things in the world. The one that really drives me crazy is they're still running it, is the guy whose wife passed away. Somehow that's Romney's fault because she had cancer or something. When she passed away like long before Romney and all this issue even took form.
Yeah, and plus she had insurance from her own company that she worked at.
You know, you were talking about politicians being bought and paid for. The problem with that notion is that when someone wants to take graft, if somebody wants to be on the take, they'll find some way to get money to these guys. The problem is that if the system worked the way it was supposed to, if the Constitution really was the law of the land the way it was supposed to, it wouldn't matter who these guys were supposedly bought and paid for. There's only so many things that they're supposed to be able to do, enumerated powers. So we have to educate people on what it is we send people to Washington to do. They've got this all backwards. The person that I have here in PA District 1 is not there to represent the national government. He's there to represent my district and their concerns in the national government. People don't seem – there's a disconnect with that now when they get elected. They're supposed to be accountable to us. We send him to Washington to share concerns and to have our voice in the national government. People don't understand that anymore. It's become perverted that way. That's where the education needs to take place.
Yeah, but it also comes up to a point that I've made several times in the past, that if you have someone that you're electing to the U.S. Congress, you know, Senate or House, that they do not control their pay. They do not vote for their pay. The federal government does not issue that paycheck. The citizens of the state issues the check. So now the citizens now control your paycheck as you go to D.C. We want to remind you that you work for us. You are not working for the federal government. You work for your state. And each state can then determine what that representative's salary is and what benefits they get.
Well,
not
that's
the federal government.
I like that, too.
So important for progressives to push through, you know, the direct election of senators. Okay, that was a huge thing for progressives because they wanted to have that disconnect. You know, if your legislature was the one selecting the senators, things would be a little bit different than they are now. And I think that's one of the reasons the progressives fought so hard to get that amendment pushed through. Once again, to devolve power from the states, centralize it more in Washington. Yeah, they have to get elected from their state, but like you guys were saying, they don't have that much accountability to the people that they represent in the way that it was intended.
Was Ernest Hollings your state or U.S. rep, Annie, or was he in North Carolina?
Fritz Holling was here in South Carolina.
He made a comment, guys. This is an interview, and I had it somewhere, but obviously can't upload it now. He said 90 days after being elected, U.S. senators begin re-election campaign. So 5 years and 8 months or 9 months before the election, senators begin campaigning again. Can you imagine that?
You know, why don't they just shorten the campaign period to only 2 months before the election, period. No pre-election. You know, if you've got a primary, you can only go for the primary 1 month before and then general election 2 months before. That's it, period. No more of these campaign ads that run a year ahead of time. Right?
Yep, that might work.
Well, you have that pesky freedom of speech thing.
Yep. And right now, I'm sorry, I'm battling a 30-pound cat who is now up on my lap and trying to nudge my microphone. So if you hear some weird noises, Sir Oswald Wigglesworth wants to get on the air.
Sir Oswald Wigglesworth?
Yeah.
That is a Annie, that's a Annie-ism if I ever heard of one.
Well, you're listening here to Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. And again, I will remind anyone that's tuning in, hoping to hear Colonel Martha McSally. She had a last-minute schedule change. So right now she is in the mighty blue yonder in the flight going from one place to another. We hope to have her back next week. Our call-in lines are open, so feel free to join us and join the conversation. It's 917-889-3675. You know, Cool Mike, I had to step away for a second, it looks like. But you know, we mentioned the UN earlier, and I am not a huge proponent of the UN. And I came across this article about their incompetence and so forth, written by Jonah Goldberg, one of my favorite. And he writes about, on the website, UN website, they have a organization within the UN, and catch the title of this organization, Open-Ended Ad Hoc Working Group of the General Assembly on the Integrated and Coordinated Implementation and Follow-Up to the Major United Nations Conferences and Summits in the Economic and Social Field.
What the hell was that?
I thought exactly. Ad hoc.
It's whatever you want it to be.
Wow.
Yeah, ad hoc is basically...
It's also known as the OAHWGGAICIFMUNCSESF.
That's
a whole can of alphabet soup.
If I become president, my second move as president, I'm going to put more more dynamite, TNT, and whatever underneath the building of the UN and give them about 2 hours to evacuate. And then that building's coming down quicker than Twin Tower. And then every one of the representatives can head back to their country and go build a UN in another state. Because I'll tell you, the UN wants basically taxed dominion over the globe. They want to tax a ship that's at the South Pole and tax a ship in the North Pole, whether it's in the Black Sea of Russia or it doesn't matter. They want taxing dominion over the globe. Who in the hell? And again, I got to blame the Republicans here that believe that a business or a company is endowed by its creator. It has constitutional rights. Once again, I mean, we as people build something and we allow it to get so far out of hand, it almost turns we, the taxpayers, into like Muppets. You know, we got strings tied to us. We're like whatever those things are.
Yeah,
puppets.
But if Romney were smart, when he takes office, the first thing he would do is go to the UN and say, hey, listen, the United States pays 80% of your budget. We are going to reduce that down to only 10% of your budget or less unless you turn around and give us an honest and fair voice, because we're not getting an honest and fair voice in the UN. I'm sorry. This woman Rice.
Our time.
Yeah. This woman Rice, this ambassador to the UN, is one of the biggest waste of human space that I have ever seen. And I would just turn around to the UN and say, hey, listen, we are pro-Israel. We are independent. We do not recognize your laws as being, you know, laws of our land. You know, you're here to keep peace. And you're not here to regulate guns in the United States or anything like that. You know, just say, I'm taking away the funding. I am not going to include it in our budget, and it's not going to you unless you adhere to more of our policies.
But even the guy, I mean, I know, okay, I've got a friend who I occasionally smoke a large fat stogie with, who was friends with one of the guys that rewrote the UN Charter. And he said that at the end of his life, he believed that it was one of the biggest mistakes that he had ever made. The UN is essentially a forum for dictators that have a bad case of little man syndrome, if you know what I mean.
Sounds like, yeah, Barack Obama.
You put Syria in charge of human rights. You put Iran in charge of the Small Arms Treaty. Hello, does anyone see a problem with this picture here?
Right,
and now
right.
Ahmadinejad is coming back to the UN to do another rant against the United States on our own soil.
You
does
know what?
Does anyone see a problem with the UN here?
You know, here's the thing with Iran. I just wish someone on one of our nuclear subs would just turn that little red key and send them back. See, they're waiting for their mythical Hadamahabadihasha to return, or whatever they call him.
The Mahdi.
Yeah, the Mahdi. Yeah, the Mahdi. Anyway, let's just send them back.
What are you going to do, Thomas? Are you going to bomb them into last week? I mean, come on.
Let's just
you're dealing with a group of people that haven't grown up. I mean, there was a reason for the Crusades.
Yeah,
the Crusades pushed them back.
Exactly. And that the reason why the Crusades even started is that the Moors invaded Jerusalem and took control over it.
Exactly.
Plus, they turned around and were slaughtering our pilgrims.
Right.
The idea of the Knights, especially the Knights Templar, was to guard the pilgrims so they got to their destination in one piece. And so hence the Crusades were born, to simply protect Christians' worship.
Okay, so why was it so bad? Well, Christians killed millions of Muslims. First of all, it wasn't millions of Muslims. They killed thousands of Muslims. It was the Muslims that killed millions of Christian Catholics and other people who didn't convert. You know, it's funny how people want to revitalize history instead of studying it.
Now, I got into a debate with someone on LinkedIn because I posted, I told you on 9/11, I posted that asking people to put down remembrances of what happened on the day that we were attacked. And this one gentleman who obviously was Islamic, I finally, after about five back and forth with him, won the argument. You think I wouldn't? And I pointed out to him that, hey, listen, the United States has been attacked from the day we were born. The day our nation was born, we were being attacked by Barbary pirates.
Exactly, who were Muslims.
And we have we never learned our lesson. Even in 93, when the Twin Towers were bombed the first time, we didn't learn our lesson. We've learned our lesson, and we're not taking it anymore. You want a weak president that you can turn around and bend to your will? Well, that's what you've got right now. But no, we're not going to allow it because the United States has backbone. The people of the United States has a spine, have spine, and we will put into office someone that will turn around and defy you. Now, mark my words, I'd gotten a confidential email from someone, a gentleman who is retired military, from someone who is a former Navy SEAL stationed in Israel. And he said Israel is making movements like he has not seen in 20 years. He says Israel is getting ready to act. They have some of their IDF special forces. They're busting to the Wailing Wall. And the only time they do that is just before a military action so they can lay their prayers. He's seen movement of equipment and troops into areas that he's never seen them being moved into before. Israel and Netanyahu are not going to stand by and wait for Obama. He said it right, Netanyahu. When?
And see, here's the thing. That guy, that Revolutionary Guard general threatening Israel with annihilation, is he really that stupid? Does he not understand that Israel possesses over, what was it, 80 to 100 nuclear bombs? That they, if they just dropped five of them, they would send the entirety. In fact, Israel don't even have to drop it. All they have to do is detonate a low pulse EMP bomb at about an altitude of 5 to 6 miles, and they would send the entirety of Iran back into the Stone Age by frying everything in there.
Right, oh, so they sent it back to last week.
Exactly. Exactly. Matter of fact, I had a guest on before, and I forget what his last name is. I forget what his last name is, but he's got a book out, and you can pull it up on the internet, called The Iran Covenant, and that's exactly what he talks about. He puts down a scenario where Israel and the United States take action finally against Iran, and Israeli send a nuke with the electronic pulse bomb and takes Iran out. It's a great book. Check it out, Iran Covenant. You know, we're down to our last 6 minutes here, so let's go through everyone, Mike, and we'll have everyone make a one-minute closing statement, Thomas.
Okay. Tonight on Pro-Life Fridays, we are interviewing three awesome guests, but the primary guest is Brenda Schaefer. She is probably the foremost expert on the partial birth abortion procedure, because she used to work in a abortion clinic, and she trained under the man who created the partial birth abortion procedure. So we're going to be talking about that on a 2-hour episode of Pro-Life Fridays. You won't want to miss it.
Okay,
for mature audiences only, though, tonight.
Thank you, Thomas. And one last happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Last one. No more.
Okay.
All right, reactionary.
Congratulations on your new empire.
Reactionary.
Tonight on the fabulous Fast and Furious Friday, we will be talking with author Chip Downs about the process of an Article 5 convention. And there are many and varying opinions of what an Article 5 convention can and cannot accomplish. So it should be interesting to hear what he has to say. He has a book out. We will be taking as much time as it takes with it. And that will be happening at the fabulous new time of 8 p.m. Eastern on BTR.
Actually, there may be a clip you may want to check out up on YouTube. Phyllis Schlafly did a fantastic little five-minute thing about why a con is not a good idea. You may want to check that out before you do your show.
I am not in the corner of the Article 5 convention, so I am walking into it with an open mind and willing to be convinced otherwise.
Okay, like I said, check out Phyllis Schlafly's thing. She does a really fantastic one. All right, Dana?
Well, I just wanted to thank you for letting me come on and play. You guys have a fabulous program, and love to listen to it. You guys always do a great job. And my whole goal is to get back to Beaufort one of these days to have a visit. And maybe when we do, you and I can go out to dinner at the dockside or something, Annie. Would love to see you.
Absolutely. You are aware that they have a new one over here on Ladies Island.
Do they really know? I didn't know that.
Yes, and it's right around the corner for me. So it's become a better – because the other one is all in Port Royal, and I just hate going all that distance.
I understand. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate the time. Take care.
Great to have everybody on.
Thanks, Dana.
Happy birthday to Thomas and Dana and Reactionary Guy. Great to have everyone. You know, we should actually schedule roundtables a little bit more often.
Yeah, we shall. We should do that. We got great guests coming up next week. I want to remind everyone, Denise D'Souza, the producer of the new movie out 2016, Obama's America. He's a prodigious author, and he's the dean of King's College in New York. He was also served as an advisor under the Reagan administration straight out of college. So he's going to be a fantastic guest with us on Tuesday. And then, Mike, we got two guests the following week. We've got Diane Nagy, who sang the national anthem at the Tampa presidential debate. She's also part of the Tea Party Express. She'll be on. And then another conservative musician, and his is more of this new world, new wave type of stuff, Xander Demos. So we got two musicians coming up the following week. And we got
we hope to have Martha McSally on a week from today, or Dale Peterson. Go to YouTube and look up Dale Peterson and look at his videos. Also, just so FYI, I know everybody is wondering, Jermaine, Conservative Primetime, will return on Monday with Jermaine and ABC. Jermaine is back in the employment business, so he had to get his his training, whatever they call that, the training period, probationary, whatever, done. And so Monday they return. Tuesday, Jermaine, me, and Sarge return 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Jermaine is doing fine, everybody. Thank you for your prayers, too.
Okay, and one last thing is that I just got a message back from Anita Moncrief, and she is willing to come on the show also. Anyone who doesn't remember who Anita Moncrief was, she is the woman that rocked Obama's world when she revealed what was actually, in truth, going on at Acorn. So, hey, that's going to be a jamming good show there, too. So, everyone, have a safe, happy, and healthy weekend, and we'll see you next week on Tuesday. Same bat time, same bat station, and good night, and God bless.
Have a good weekend, everyone. Go Irish!
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble.
You've been listening to Southern Sense Blog Talk Radio. Producer and your hostess extraordinaire is Ann Ubelis. The theme music, American Stand Up, is written and performed by Don Fortney. For more from Don, check out his webpage, teapartymusic.webs.com. Southern Sense is a proud member of Ghost Fighter Radio and Freedom Media Network. Southern Sense is common sense. Take it out, Don.
American straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up? Don't sit down. Stand up, don't back down. Stand up and shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.